Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
You are an estate and tax planning attorney.
This is true.
Last few shows, we've been talking a lot about how estate taxes have changed, particularly on the federal level. And you want to review a bit of that and also just, again, drill down on why a trust helps with all of this planning.
Yeah, there are some pending changes coming in about 18 months or so. And the big change is that the law already has in place that the federal estate tax exemption, that is how much you can have when you die, and it's exempt from taxes. We like money that's exempt from taxes. And currently, that's a little under $14 million. So anyone can pass away with up to almost $14 million. And they're not going to be exposed to an estate tax on the federal level. Now, for married couples, you, with proper planning, you can double that. And so you can have almost $27 million is what the figure works out to be. And or a little over that. On the state level, that is $2.2 million, so a little over two.
That hasn't changed much.
Nope, that hasn't changed over the years. And so that is a huge chasm between those two numbers, 14 versus two.
Sure.
And now you get to double both of those for married, so $4 million, a little over $4 million, and almost 28 on the federal level. Now, if you enter into a federal tax, it's bad. It's 40% right now. In 18 months, it's going to creep up to 45%. And the other thing that's going to happen in 18 months, the law's already written, like I said, is that it's going to be cut in half is what we anticipate. We don't know the exact number yet. We need a few more numbers over the course of this year before we can do specific calculations, but that number is going to be cut in half. So more people are going to be exposed to the federal estate tax. That's a bummer. But plenty of people in the Pacific Northwest, in the Washington area, are already exposed to an estate tax. That just happens to be Washington State estate tax. Mm. And so yeah, we need to talk about how do we preserve what has been put into our hands. How do we make sure that we're not going to pay an unnecessary tax? I don't mind paying taxes, even as a tax attorney. I don't mind doing that. It means I'm making something that's a good thing. But what I object to is paying an unnecessary tax. And what leads to unnecessary taxes, the biggest culprit is lack of planning. Or culprit number two, having a plan that is outdated. So one of those two, you've never done planning, and trust me, there's plenty of people.
Which is about half the population.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. About 50% have never done any type of estate planning whatsoever.
Even 75, 80 years old, and they still.
Yes, and even people with $10 million or more, they still haven't done it. Mm-hmm. And so statistics show that the more money you gain, the more you don't like to talk about the topic of dying. Isn't that interesting?
Interesting.
Yeah, it really is. It actually goes up that one of the reasons people don't want to do their estate planning is that they don't like talking about their mortality. We don't like to talk about dying. So unless you know a good savior, then it's probably okay. But other than that, most people don't appreciate talking about the dying and what happens thereafter with their estate. That figure almost doubles when you have $10 million or more. And so that fear concept that I have more and so I'm going to then not want to talk about this topic actually increases. It doesn't decrease, which is interesting to me. Mm. Yeah, the biggest reason that people have not done their estate plan? Simple procrastination. Just like almost anything. You know, why is something in your home not taken care of? Well, I enjoy Netflix too much. And so why haven't you done estate planning? Well, there's a good Amazon show that I'd rather binge. Or, you know, I'd rather go fishing. I don't blame you on the
scuba
fishing
diving.
One. Yeah, or scuba diving if you're my camp. I don't blame you for really any of those. But at some point, you got to push off the procrastination and get to it. So, so we need to talk about how do we do planning and preserve what we have been blessed with, preserve what has been put into our hands, and take that act of stewardship to make sure that more gets to our family instead of unnecessary taxes. Mm. And one of the main ways that we do foundational planning is we use a revocable living trust. Now, I'm going to geek out just a tick here, and I'm going to explain how a revocable living trust operates specifically for a married couple. So if you are single, then your exemption power is simply your exemption power. So if you are single, you can have a little over $2 million in Washington, and that first $2 million is exempt from taxes. You can have currently, I think it's like 13.6 something million dollars, and it's exempt from that 40% federal tax. Beyond that, we would have to get into other solutions, and a revocable living trust is not going to add any additional tax protections as a single individual.
What's the Washington state percentage of the tax?
Yeah, it's
10%?
15.
15. Okay.
Yep. So it's 15%, but it graduates up to 21%. Mm. And so by the time you reach 8 million, you're at 21%. So it does continue to raise. And for many people, if you've got $2.5 million, we're not going to start doing additional rearranging of tax issues. Even gifting money to your kids, typically you're going to either pay the tax to get cash and you're going to give them the cash. Okay, fine. Or you're going to give them stock and they're going to pay the 15% tax, but someone's going to pay 15% tax. And so it's almost a wash at that level. Mm. When you get into the 4 million, 5 million, now the numbers work out to where it's actually beneficial for me to start shifting some of how your estate plan is developed. It takes other documentation. It takes other taxing opportunities. But the revocable living trust as our foundational document, as a single individual, you have one exemption in Washington. You have one exemption federally. And at that point, a revocable living trust is simply better estate planning, and you need good estate planning no matter what. Mm. It'll provide a smoother transition. It'll provide the ability for you to help your children or your beneficiaries or charities or other individuals that you care about, and it'll ensure that money can be passed generationally as well. So there's much more involved in using a good instrument for estate planning. Mm. And so it's not all about taxes.
Why not just a will? Will a will accomplish this as well? Or why a trust? Why is a trust better?
Well, because of those things that I just talked about, which is a will.
Will doesn't do that.
Yeah, a will is simply a here you go instrument. Mm-hmm. It's like a beneficiary designation on a bank account.
Okay.
Or on an IRA. Which is you present a death certificate and that money becomes yours. So so if I were to die and I have an IRA, let's say that's $1 million, and I leave it to my two girls and they're the beneficiary. They're going to inherit $500,000 each. Well, they're in their 20s and well, Lord help me if they were to grab $500,000 each. So I may want to put in some guidance for my children to make sure that they're going to use those finances appropriately over a period of time. Or what if they got divorced? What if they were in a bad car accident? Now, you may think immediately, oh, IRAs, Paul, you know, the creditors can't take them. And if it was an inheritance, then it's going to stay with the child. And I would say those are presumptions. They're not rock solid. Hmm. And so there are certainly easy ways to defeat those presumptions when you inherit money or if – and then actually an inherited IRA is not creditor protected. If you create an IRA, 401k, 453b, all these others, if you're the one who created it, that money is protected. Washington State actually has very good creditor protection laws over IRAs. They don't want people taking your future. And so very good laws in Washington regarding that, but not to an inherited IRA. They fall off according to federal bankruptcy law. So why use a trust? Because there's so much more that instrument can do for family values. It helps protect long term. So what if my girl's got a divorce later down the road? Well, a trust is going to be a better shield when their inheritance is kept in it. So it's not all about taxes. As a matter of fact, very few people come into my office and say, I've got a tax problem. I need you to resolve it. Actually, very few do that. What they come in is, I want a smooth transition and I want to make sure that my family is protected. How do I do that? Oh, well, that's good. You've come to the right place. I know how to do that for you. So taxes are just one layer of estate planning. It's not the layer. Okay. But let's talk about how a revocable living trust works for married couples, because I said for singles, the exemption is the exemption. So the basic what basically happens is that when one spouse dies, we split the trust in two. And maybe you've heard of an AB trust or a safe harbor trust or a bypass trust. All of these things are simply referring to the exact same thing. You can hear other radio shows and they can talk about a safe harbor trust all stinking day long. It simply means, how do I protect my spouse when the first spouse dies? Now, there's different ways to do that. There's ways to make sure that the spouse has access to everything. If you're in a blended family, a second marriage, you may want to make sure that your surviving spouse has access to all the income, but not to the principal. If you are in health issues, there's ways to protect that, that when one spouse dies, that the that their portion of the money goes into what we would consider a Medicaid or a supplemental trust. So the basic foundation, the basic premise of using a trust is, when the first spouse dies, we are going to split the assets in two. Half the value stays with the survivor. Half the value goes to a decedent's trust. When that happens, for tax purposes, we then hold the exemption power for the first to die. So that first $2.2 million in Washington, or $14 million, almost $14 million on the federal level, we've properly used the exemption power. And now when the second spouse dies, they also have exemption power. Versus if I used a will and I just said, here you go, babe, have all my money. I didn't use my exemption. We didn't properly plan and I lost it. I didn't use it. So now when my wife dies, there may be an unintended tax consequence. So the basic premise of a trust is that we split it into two, an AB trust, a survivor, a decedent trust. All these different terms, it means the same things. It means my portion when I die is preserved for my spouse. Now, I can then make different wrappers around my instructions depending on what my wife needs. Again, full access, partial access, income only, or potentially even protecting her from Medicaid so that if she ever became very ill and needed long-term care, that there is a safe wrapper around that. All of these things can be accomplished. And the first step is that we got to have the conversation. And really in marrieds, when you're married, the first thing we need to do is we need to protect each other. We think of dying and leaving money to the kids. That's our instinct, actually. But we miss someone who's rather important that maybe you've been married to for a while. The person probably sitting right next to you, elbowing you right now. We got to make sure that our spouse is well taken care of first. Then we can turn our attention when they pass away to the kids. And how do we create the generational wealth and the generational planning for everybody else? But step one, got to have a trust, because it's the only way to do proper planning and take care of your spouse.
Okay, you're listening today. You want to find out more about Paul's services. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Well, head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's upcoming educational opportunities. All of our past podcasts are there as well, so you can get more education, listen to other things, and then there's ways to communicate with us and connect to the firm. So it's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's Legacy and Faith.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, looking at trusts and how they help with taxes and other planning issues. And Paul, you wanted to get into maybe the scenario where we find that we have maxed out our exemptions, and how does that affect our Washington taxes, federal taxes? What do we do then, and how does that work with a trust?
Yeah, so a revocable living trust is foundational planning. And what the intent of a revocable living trust, one of its main intents is to make sure that we use the exemption power of each person. So if you're single, we want to make sure we use your exemption power and that we appropriately have family values and ways to create generational wealth. If you're married, we want to make sure we use both exemption powers in a revocable living trust and then accomplish all those same things as well. And so a foundational revocable living trust will allow us to take advantage of our exemption. So in Washington, a lower exemption amount, $2,193,000, so around 2.2. So what happens when you have more? And great question, right? So let's talk about that, because, again, in the Pacific Northwest, it's so much easier nowadays to get up into those levels compared to what it used to be. So what happens when you have more? If you're single and you have over 2 million, or if you're married and you're right at the crest of 4 million, then what? Well, additional planning and an additional look needs to be it needs to be looked at. That was a bad sentence, but we're going to keep it on the radio anyways. And so we need to take another review. And there's multiple different ways that we can actually preserve more wealth, or we can become very generous and help other charities. So let's talk about it. Number one, in Washington, you mentioned before break, what's the a tax amount here in Washington, it's 15%. And I made a mention that, well, if you're just over that number, then one way or another, someone's going to be probably paying a 15% tax. Why do I say that? Because if you were going to start gifting your kids money, then you're going to sell a stock. And when you sell an appreciated stock, you got to pay capital gains. And that starts at 15%. Well, that's the same amount as if you die with that stock in your estate. Mm. So they're equal amounts. What if you gift the stock over to the kids. Well, they're paying a 15% tax, right? So I could go to my financial advisor and say, hey, transfer blank many shares of this company I own and just transfer it in kind over to my kids' account. Well, when they cash it out and use it, they're going to pay the appreciated value because when you gift something, the basis or what you paid for it goes to the one who is receiving the gift. So one way or another, it's almost all 15%. Mm. So when we take a second look at someone's finances, we have to make a determination of, well, what is the real advantage? So here's the thing about me, believe it or not, I'm not going to just do planning to plan. I would like to because then I could charge you. And when I do this type of planning and start rearranging things beyond the foundational revocable living trust, well, be quite honest, things get a little more pricey because I'm saving a lot of tax money. So now we're starting to do a long-term preservation of wealth, and it's just a whole different facet of the estate planning process. So the numbers go up when we enter into that category. So I'm not going to just charge somebody to charge somebody. That's just not integrity. But when it's right, when it's proper, and when the numbers look like, yes, that's a number that I don't want to pay taxes to, and so I'll pay your number instead, Paul, because it's much lower than the tax number. Well, now we probably have a place to talk. So what are some of the things that we can do? So whether you're a single individual, have over $2 million, whether you're married and you're creeping over that $4 million mark, then we're going to be exposed to additional taxes that a revocable living trust just simply can't protect. Number one, we can look at what does it mean for you to be generous. And in estate planning, if you give to charity, it's a dollar-for-dollar deduction. So let's say I had $3 million. And I said, I want to give $200,000 to these four different charities. They each get $50,000. Well, that would reduce my estate as far as tax consideration on a dollar-for-dollar amount. So instead of my tax exposure being at $3 million, remember I get an exemption power, so I have some exposed to estate tax. Now it's actually $2.8 million because I gave $200,000 away to these four charities. And so unlike what you do annually, so if you tithe, if you give to charities this year, that only helps you according to your tax bracket, and you got to have enough deductions nowadays, which are much higher, to actually write off any type of giving. Mm. In estate planning, it actually is a dollar-for-dollar view, and so that's really good. So you can be generous would be one of the first things that we would talk about is, well, do you have charities that you are passionate about, that you love? And many people do. Many people want to do well with leaving a legacy, not just to children, but to also what their church is doing, what missions is doing, what other great organizations, nonprofits are doing in the community. So no matter where your passion lies, if it is a qualified 501c3, mm-hmm. in other words, you can get a tax deduction on the mm-hmm. federal level, mm-hmm. then you can get a tax deduction on the federal estate tax return and on a Washington state estate tax return. Mm. So we value in society taking care of charities. We want you to be generous. And so we're going to reward generosity. That's one easy way that you can reduce estate taxes, that the charity gets the entire sum, no taxes are paid. Mm-hmm. One great way, if you want to consider generosity, is to also use your IRA money as the tool mm-hmm. to actually give it to charities. That's phenomenal because, again, if someone inherits an IRA, then they're going to receive that and taxes have never been paid. So your inheritor is going to pay the taxes. Well, charities don't pay the tax. So that's fabulous. So that's just one way. There's many, many other ways. If you're a business owner, I love utilizing businesses and beginning to shift ownership. And that is actually one of The best ways is to have a business and begin to move business ownership away from you and develop different buckets for the people that you love and care about. So when we get into what I call advanced tax planning, then we it is a longer discussion of what are you trying to accomplish? What is your appetite for losing control over your money? Because no one likes to lose control. But in this particular instance, there's probably going to be some aspect of control lost. And so it's a longer conversation. It can be done. All estate taxes are optional. All estate taxes are, whether a federal or whether a state. The question is that what you really want? Don't know until you come in and we actually sit down and talk about it. And we really uncover what your passion is with your estate and who you love and who you want to bless with what God has given you. So much longer conversation, but there's the quick answer of what to do beyond that.
Hey there, start that conversation with Paul as soon as possible. How do people find out more about your services, Paul?
Yeah, we got to either review what you have or we got to get things moving. So head over to legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, and it's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
It's the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.